Hi, I'm Michael Cashew.
And I'm Adi Cashew, and you're listening to the WAG podcast. This podcast is about health, wellness, and personal development.
Each episode is a short conversation between Adi and I on a single topic with actionable steps. We cover everything from food, mindset, fitness, and relationships.
We started WAG because of the way health and fitness changed our lives, so we hope to share a tool or two that helps you along your way.
Welcome back, guys. Before we get into this show, let's talk about the staff retreat. Okay. What did you think?
Awesome. When Michael's talking about the staff retreat, he means that we had all of our Working Against Gravity staff in one place. It was in Austin, Texas. We do this once a year. We fly everybody to be in person. We're a completely remote company. So that means that our staff really just lives all over the place. We have a little pocket of people in Denver, pocket of people in Michigan, a couple Canadians that were stragglers from when we were in Canada. So they're all over. So we really don't ever get a chance to be physically with each other in person. So we're a group of around 35 people that are physically together in person for 2.5 days. When you're this company that is all about transformation and connection and relationships and personal development, we love being physically in person to be able to actually connect with each other different. It's not the same as being able to connect with someone, you know, on a Zoom call or a video call. Mm-hmm. It is by far the best weekend of the year, for sure. When it comes to work, like, there's no comparison to the amount of energy I get for work from spending time with these people in person. It's like, there's so many benefits to the freedom of being remote. And then there's weekends like this where you're like, man, our people are just so cool. Like, they're just, every single one of them is so interesting. They're so cool. They have so much cool shit going on in their life. And I loved it. It was so much fun. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was badass. I loved the conversation about transformation. So our number one value at WAG is client transformation. Mm-hmm. But this year we kind of changed that to being transformation in general, because we care about our staff and ourselves just as much as the clients.
And the business too.
And the business, right. So as a business, we are transforming. We're starting to work with, we're training coaches, we're training gyms to do what we do, not just helping people lose weight and get leaner and working one-on-one with people. So that was a really exciting conversation. Mm-hmm. And then we also did some cool exercises to help all of us connect with each other deeper than we ever had. And like you're saying, it's just so great to get to do that when we work so hard towards the same goals, but we almost never get to see each other in person.
And you kind of get to be on this like own, like, lonely island. Like, I'm working over here. Are you working over there? Like, what are you doing? Like, you can sometimes feel like you're the only one. And then you get around everybody and you're like, oh my God, you feel that too? Like, you go through that. So we try and be connected as much as possible throughout the year, but it's not the same. And I think what was really special about this particular year is that it's our fourth time. Fourth annual staff retreat. And nobody at this year's retreat has never been to a retreat before. So it was not anybody's first rodeo. And I think that that had this crazy different dynamic of everyone already had done the surface chatter. There wasn't a lot of like, there wasn't as much anxiety about being there as it is in your first time. We're nervous. Are they really going to like me? It's my first time meeting these people in person. Everyone already kind of knows each other. So I think it allowed us to get a little bit deeper and also just be ourselves more, which was so fun.
So this conversation directly ties into what we're going to talk about today. I almost planned it that way. It is so amazing to be around people who freaking love their jobs. And our coaches definitely have things that they, you know, wish were different about their job, and not every day is perfect, but it is so energizing to be around people that are so fired up to do what they do. And today we're talking about becoming a nutrition coach yourself and how to think about that whole process. And I was just really fired up and inspired to have this conversation today, because we just experienced our, like, really a live staff that are just, they just love what they do.
So if you're somebody who's passionate about fitness, about health, about wellness, and considering, you know, maybe making a career switch to doing something that's more focused on coaching other people and specifically nutrition coaching, this episode is going to talk all about that. And we have seen firsthand how creating that type of opportunity for people has transformed their own lives.
Yeah. And you don't have to switch careers. You could just make this a side hustle, or you could just do this as like a hobby.
Yeah.
But it's very fulfilling, and it gives you the ability and the power and the skills to actually help people transform their lives.
My mom does it as a side hustle and a hobby. She does it in Toronto for some people there that she doesn't take on very many clients, but it's not what she does. And on the side, she loves to help people with their nutrition and fitness.
Cool. Before we get into this, we want to thank you, as always, for leaving your reviews and for keeping us motivated and helping us to grow this channel, grow this podcast. And keep doing it. We appreciate it. If you've been listening to this for a while and you haven't done so already, please take the time to go leave us a quick review.
If you love us and you feel good sometimes by the things that we say, we read every single review and we love it. So.
And I've got one from Alex AF here. It says, listening to Mike and Adi is very pleasant, fun, as well as relatable. They have good chemistry and the conversation is very smooth. I really like all the examples they have for everything, both individually and as a couple, and they give a brief summary and action steps at the end. Definitely recommend. Thanks, Alex. Appreciate you, man.
Yeah,
hopefully
so
this
much.
This episode lives up to that. So we're talking about nutrition coaching. Mm-hmm. What are some good reasons to go into nutrition coaching, whether that be full-on career or side hustle or just passion project?
So a good reason to go into nutrition coaching would be to be of service to others. Another good reason is that you've been transformed by nutrition and fitness and wellness yourself, and you want to pay it forward. You've like seen the results. You've seen how it's changed your life, not just in changing your body, but maybe it's changed your marriages. Or we have clients that have like repaired relationships with parents, or they've moved to different cities just because of, you know, they attributed the catalyst to making some type of transformation in their fitness and nutrition. If you've experienced that and you want to give it back and pay it forward, doing this type of job is a great, great way to do that.
Yeah. Another great reason, you really want to help other people reach their goals and their dreams. Mm-hmm. This is a set of skills. Nutrition coaching is a set of skills, and what we teach is a set of skills that allows you to really help people achieve a number of different things outside of just getting lean and losing weight.
Yeah.
Although you can get really damn good at that.
Yeah, totally.
What are some not so good reasons?
One that I can think of right off the bat, and then you can add any that you think of. Not so good reason would be to be rich. I mean, you can make money being a nutrition coach, but if that's your primary focus when you're going into a job that is this emotional and requires vulnerability and is in many ways incredibly fulfilling, but on the other side is exhausting and draining emotionally, if you want just to make a quick dollar, this is it's probably not a good reason to do this. Like, this is – you are – dealing with people's intimate lives, and you're having a real impact on the decisions that they're making from day to day. If you really just want to get rich, there's just way more shallow level professions that to go into that. If that's what you're fired up about, that's super cool. This particular profession, I feel like if your motivations are money versus service to others, it might cloud your judgment in terms of the types of decisions that you'll make. And these are real people that you're impacting. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah, another not so good reason is like you want to be a guru to people, and you want to you want to seem like the quote unquote expert or hero.
Yeah, that's a great
one. I feel like all of us want to have affirmations and be appreciated, but if you want to be looked at as a guru or like having all of the answers, you're not going to be the best coach. The best coaches are the ones that do just enough for their clients so that the clients have their own aha moments. And I didn't make that up. I got that golden nugget from, I think, Evan Pagan. You let them have the aha moments. You don't steal it from them. You don't always have to be the one with the right answers or to be the hero.
Could have been Evan Pagan. Could have been me.
The aha moment?
No, maybe aha moments.
That was Evan
Aha
Pagan.
Moments is Oprah.
Yeah, it was Evan.
So I think on that vein, the best gurus in the world want their people to become teachers themselves. Mm-hmm. The best coaches want their people to become coaches themselves. You know, the best way to know that you've really integrated something is if you can teach it to other people. So if you just want to be a hero and be famous, or if you want just praise and acknowledgement, this probably isn't the best place to do that.
Mm-hmm. But if you want to make a massive impact in people's lives, then
yeah, keep there's listening. Something that we learned in the Landmark Forum. I don't remember exactly, so maybe you can help me. It was something like real contribution is service without being noticed. It's like doing
I forgot about that.
Doing service even if you're not going to be noticed.
Right.
There's people that go to this personal development seminar called the Landmark Forum, and they come and they volunteer, and honestly, nobody even notices the volunteers until they get acknowledged at the end of the whole event. They're setting up the chairs, they're doing all these things, and they're not asking people to be like, thank you for setting up the chair. They're just doing it just for the sake of doing it. I think nutrition coaching can have layers like that, like where you're, I'll have a client who had some type of a breakthrough or they've realized something, and I could definitely trace it back to something that I've said if I want my ego to get a little hit of praise. But I don't need to be acknowledged for it. Like that is acknowledgement within itself of just other people bettering themselves.
Right. So what type of education should one get if they want to become a nutrition coach?
Yeah. I think there's so many different paths. Whatever fires you up and you're going to actually absorb the information. So if that for you is in a formal educational university setting, that works well, go get a university degree. There's different paths to taking nutrition and dietetics and fitness. There's lots of different degrees that you can take and certifications that way. If that's really difficult for you, it's really expensive, or you just don't absorb information that way. I know Michael is that way.
Definitely. Yeah, I have more to say on this. I'll let you finish here.
Let me finish my little speech. There's so many distilled specific courses that you can take that can tell you exactly how to do what you're learning to do. Instead of like,
what's one of those?
Oh, there's one at Working Against Gravity. It's the coach certification. We specifically teach people how to become a nutrition coach, very specific. So there's so many thousands of online certifications of that type.
So what about Alan Aragon and Eric Helms and all of those folks?
So those people are also great resources. They also have online books and courses and resources and newsletters. And there's so much information out there that can educate you.
Mm-hmm. I just want to bring up the point that you should never feel like you have to go get a university degree to be a nutrition coach. I think the world is like starting to become aware of that.
Mm-hmm.
If you feel like that form of education most resonates with you, then by all means, that's a great place.
That's what I said.
Yeah. I don't want you to feel like you have to do that.
Yeah. There's amazing people that have dedicated their lives to focusing on this specific topic that are creating information that is easily consumable out there. There's Precision Nutrition. There's Alan Aragon. There's Eric Helms. There is Lyle McDonald. There's also, there's just like a lot of people out there that are putting really good information that's easy to consume. Chris Kresser has a great Adapt Health Coach course. Their books, their resources, newsletters, sign up for them.
Is there any like mindset shift or perspective shift that you think people need to have about nutrition? Like I think a lot of people think that they just always need more and more and more information, and they're not like they don't have something that is necessary to become a coach.
Yeah. You've had a little bit of moments like this too with like different areas of your own education and training. The mindset shift is, yes, getting education is amazing. Learning, researching, doing all of that, sort of whatever it is that you're going to get certified in or whatever it is, that's really important. And I don't think that should ever end. You should continue to learn, especially in a field like nutrition that's constantly changing. There's always new things. The landscape of nutrition 10 years from now versus the way that it is today is just going to be very different. If you don't stay learning and educating yourself, you're going to be behind. So I think that's important. The mindset shift has to be at a certain point, you have to start taking action. And the most amount of learning is going to be through experience, especially in something like nutrition, where people are very individual. Their responses to things and their results are going to be very different. Coaching somebody and seeing how they respond to your way of coaching, what works, what doesn't work, what people like, what people don't like, that is going to be the best education that you could possibly get. You're going to see in action, not just in a textbook, of what actually gets people results. And while education is really amazing, results is really what people are looking for. Mm-hmm. So the quicker that you can realize the skills that are required to get people those results, the better it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and your learning curve goes up exponentially when mm-hmm. you actually start practicing mm-hmm. something.
And
yeah.
your like motivation for it will be right. more like you're like, oh, I'm actually implementing the things that I'm learning, so therefore I'm going to really take in the lessons. And I'm going to be super excited because now I want to find out what other things are going to help people get even better results. It's just like all plays on each other. I wouldn't let education paralyze you from taking action. Just start helping people. If you've been through something, just teach people exactly what you learned and what helped you. And it's going to work for some people and it's not going to work for others. And you can tweak as you go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Nassim Taleb talks about having skin in the game is like the absolute fastest way to learn. And when you actually have you're starting to build a relationship with someone and they're actually relying on you for support and advice, mm-hmm. there's skin in that, you have actual skin in the game, there's something to lose, then you're much more on the hook and incentivized to learn and internalize everything that mm-hmm. you're going through.
Yeah.
So how do people actually start coaching? When you're a WAG coach or you go through your WAG affiliate, you have a software that makes it very easy. But what if you're someone that is like, you don't even have a website, you don't have any of these pieces of technology? How do you actually start coaching?
For people that have been through some type of transformation themselves, whatever system helped you do it, you can copy it and do the same thing. If somebody was emailing you weekly and that's how they were connecting with you, do that same thing. If you were going to someone and you were going to an office and you were meeting with them for an hour every single week, try that out. See, you know, there's so many different ways of doing it. What I would do is look at people who are successful, look at the way that they're doing it, or like successful in the area that you want to be successful. Look at the way that they're doing it. Even email them and ask them questions on how do you do it. I mean, I've definitely, don't send me a million emails, everybody, but I've definitely answered people's questions on Instagram and DMs. Like, if you have a specific question about how does this work, I would share that information with people. Mm-hmm. And then just copy it.
Let's talk about the ethics of that. Why do you think that is still ethical? Like, some people would say, oh, that's just stealing, you can't do that.
I don't think it's like intellectual property in the sense of you're not taking this person's education, you're not using their words, you're not stealing the names of their things. It's like an organization of how to communicate with people. That's not proprietary to somebody. I don't see that as proprietary. Like, I think,
I agree.
You know, Weight Watchers does it the same as another company does it. Like, there's so many people that are doing it the same way. It's nobody owns that.
Right. So basically it's like, if you see a company is charging, you know, around $150, then you could charge around $150. If you see that the way that they're communicating with you is through email and they're having mm-hmm. you fill out an Excel sheet each week, you could just use those general principles and that general structure of creating your business. Is that what you're talking about?
Yes.
Yeah. There's nothing proprietary about that.
When I think it becomes unethical is like they sent you a introductory document and you copy it word for word, put your logo on it, and then you send that out like you made that up.
Right.
That is intellectual property.
Then you're being a bad boy.
Yeah. Well, that's somebody put a lot of work and effort into that, and then you're just actually stealing it. Mm-hmm. That's not ethical. It's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the system and organization in which you're communicating with people. Like, these companies like Weight Watchers uses phone calls or Skype calls, let's say. They didn't invent Skype. Like, they didn't invent phone calls. They don't own that method of communicating with your clients.
Right.
If you take Weight Watchers' exact intake questionnaire and you use that as your own, and they did not allow you to do that, like Precision Nutrition gives you intake questionnaires that you can use with your clients, then you can't do that. Like, that's not allowed. But what I'm talking about is if you see a coach using certain softwares or certain methods of communication with people, you can do that too.
Right. So now that you have your structure figured out, you're in it for the right reasons, you have your structure figured out, mm-hmm. and you act like now you're ready to find some clients to start working with.
Yeah.
Number one thing you want to do, and this is out of a real estate agent's book. Real estate agents do this very, very well in that they just leverage their current network. Mm-hmm. So they reach out to every single person that they know. Sometimes they reach out to every single person they've ever known, and they tell them, hey, I am now a real estate agent. If you or someone that you know is looking for a house, let me know. I'd love to help you.
Yeah.
You can do the same thing. Mm-hmm. You can use your text messages. You can use your Facebook. You can use your Instagram. You can call people that are close to you. Leverage your current network. Those are the people that already trust you and are going to be predispositioned to want to do business with you.
Yeah, absolutely. Totally.
The next one is kind of along the same lines, but use your social media channel. And you don't have to have 10, 20, 40, 100,000 followers.
You don't have to get have value even 1,000.
Right. You don't have to have a huge number of followers to get value out of it and to reach people. All you need is maybe one or two people that actually need your help.
One or two people that actually need your help can be the beginning of your entire business, 100%.
All you need is a foot in the door. All you need to do is start to get the ball rolling, because mm-hmm. the next couple of things that we're going to talk about are basically like how to put gasoline on the fire once mm-hmm. you have that momentum.
Yes.
But when you're reaching out, talk about like spend some time deciding exactly the type of person you want to work with. Mm-hmm. It is not good marketing or good business to say, I'm a nutrition coach. I'm going to work with anyone and everyone. Right? That's right. Not a good message to send out into the world.
Decide if you want to work with maybe clients who are obese, and that's who you want to be specific, especially at the beginning, for sure. If you want to work with clients that just want athletic performance, if you want weight loss, if you want weight gain, if you want people that are vegetarian, if you want people that are dealing with certain types of issues with body image, you know, like really decide the type of person that you're looking for, and then talk specifically to that person when you're asking or putting your services out there. So you're posting to social media, you're saying, I'm a new nutrition coach. I am looking for someone who XYZ at Working Against Gravity, it would be someone who likes a challenge, somebody who wants to work hard, somebody who's tried a number of different diets before and has not found sustainable success. Like, that is the kind of person that we're looking for. Someone who works really hard in the gym but is not seeing the results that they want in the mirror. Like, that is a Working Against Gravity client. Very specific. We love that type of person. We know that we're going to probably see the most success with that kind of person. So you start at least with a person. And I think the best way to do this is to, if you don't know somebody actually in your regular life, I mean, that's the best, is maybe you know somebody that you've helped and think about them. Like, what is their name? What do they do? Who are they? Think about them actually. Or if not, then just make up a person like Michael, who is X age and he's interested in these things, and like, what would they like? What kind of person is this? And mm-hmm. that's who you're speaking to.
Yeah. In the beginning, it helps to have to target the smallest niche possible, so that when those people see that message, they feel like you are for them. You are working mm-hmm. for them. So I'm looking for 5 women that are fitness oriented, that want to lose weight, right? That's very, that's very, very niche.
Totally. And they're like, that's me.
And you don't always have to do this, right? You, one day, hopefully you grow big enough where you're working with all sorts of people and all sorts of goals. But to get started, it is good. It is a good business strategy to start small, with a small demographic, and really, really understand them and understand how to get them results.
And what ends up happening is, even though you're speaking to the woman who's fitness oriented that wants to lose weight, their dad might be interested in your service.
Right.
And they might be like, I know that you speak to the, you know, like it just grows organically from there. And what we're going to talk about next is how that happens.
Yeah. Next, focus on getting them results at all costs. And in
over deliver.
In the beginning, over deliver and do things that aren't scalable.
Yeah. When he says do things that aren't scalable, it means at the beginning, it's okay if you're doing, like, if it's not automated and it's not in a software and you don't have an assistant and you have to do a lot of things yourself. A lot of people, what people don't realize is automation actually also means difficult, like less flexibility. So that means if I'm doing things really manual at the beginning, one, like I can change. So if something's not working, I can switch to something else. If you're using a software, it's a lot harder to change from that software to something else. So at the beginning, just as a business, do things that are not scalable so that you can decide what system works for you. And then also for the clients, your first clients, you have extra time. You know, you don't have 1,000 people that are taking up tons of your time, and you also don't know exactly what you're good at as a coach, and you haven't refined the skills to like hone in on it, knowing exactly where you're going to provide the most value. So try and do more than you think you need to do, you know, reach out in different types of ways, offer them different types of content, different types of resources. Of course, at the same time, be collecting feedback, because there is a point of minimal returns where you could overwhelm somebody with too much. But you definitely want to do things at the beginning that might not necessarily be like automated. Like everyone says, you know, automate what you don't need to do. At the beginning, it might make sense not to automate it.
Right. Yeah, that's a really good point you bring up. Over-delivering doesn't mean sending them and overloading them with information, mm-hmm. right? It's giving them just the right, like giving them everything you've got to help them get the result that they wanted.
Mm-hmm.
And sending them a book every day to read is not the answer.
Right,
that's
exactly.
That's a great one. A common thing that business owners, and honestly, I've been in this trap myself. I've said something like, how could I do this with 10 people? There's no way I could do this with 10,000 people. Well, you don't have 10,000 people
exactly.
right now. So just give the 10 people world-class service. You're going to build your reputation. You're going to get them better results, and they're going to refer their friends. And you'll figure out the scaling piece later.
Yeah, the thing from going from 10 to 10,000 is you're going to have to hit 15 and 20 and 25 and 30, and then you will figure it out along the way. It's kind of like, I think someone said something to me, I understand like dealing with an infant, but when I think about having a five-year-old, it's like, oh my gosh, I can't imagine having a five-year-old. They're like, well, it's a good thing. It's going to take 5 years for you to figure it out, you
yes,
know?
Yes.
It's you'll figure it out as you go. Don't think too far ahead, especially at the beginning. You can think far ahead as like a vision, and that's motivating, but at the beginning, just to start getting momentum, it's like get in there, do the work, and you'll make mistakes and right. you'll figure it out along the way.
Also, a key distinction, over-deliver versus over-promise. Over-promising is like promising something and then falling short. Over-delivering is promising something but delivering more.
Yes.
So keep your structure simple, right? Like Adi talked about, find something that has worked for you, or you know, copy our model
yeah,
by all means.
Do it.
Please do it. We would love you to. That'd be very flattering. So promise something simple that you can for sure fulfill on, but then give them more, right?
Mm-hmm.
Surprise them with and delight them with more connection.
People
and,
love that.
An occasional extra message or phone call, or just go that extra mile. But you don't have to promise all of these things. Am I making sense there?
Yes. People actually are more affected by a surprise than they are by something that you have promised. If you say you're going to do something, it becomes they expect you to do it. If you deliver it and you didn't say you were going to do it, it's like so delightful. So over deliver means just be awesome, you know, like do what you say you're going to do and more. And then just do everything you can to provide a high quality service. And in my mind, that always is having a constant loop of feedback. Ask your people for feedback. Tell them what's one thing I'm doing really great, what's one thing I could do better, and take that feedback very seriously, especially from your early adopters, because these people are the people that believed in you before there was any reason to believe in you.
Mm-hmm.
So they love you and they're your raving fans, that their feedback is really, really imperative. Mm-hmm. So take that feedback seriously and don't have the mindset of like, one, that makes me, if someone gives you a piece of feedback, you're like, oh, I'm so shit. I shouldn't do this. Like, I'm going to choose something else. That's not the right attitude. And then it's also not like, ah, oh, they don't know what they're talking about. That's so stupid. Like, they just didn't read the information I sent them. It's no, if you sent somebody information and they're giving you feedback that they didn't get that information, it's not on them to read the information. It's on you to present it to them in a way that they're actually going to receive it. Mm-hmm. So take the feedback super seriously, and you will get better and better. Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to shamelessly plug the WAG coach cert on this mm-hmm. point, because one of the biggest pieces of feedback that we get from our clients that go through this training course is that they actually feel confident in going coaching. Out and coaching mm-hmm. when they finish it, as opposed to going through a lot of like multiple question-based courses where they have a lot of new knowledge, but they don't have the confidence and courage in to actually go out and do it.
Yeah.
And you get an actual human being to guide you and teach you some of this art of coaching,
yeah,
which I love.
And the way that happens is we give you some type of sample client. Like, we give you a sample of a client response or a client check-in or their data, and you're going to actually coach this fake person, and we're going to give you feedback on the way that you coach. So I think that has really helped people in taking the step of being like, wow, I am actually a good coach in a lot mm-hmm. of ways. There's definitely areas for me to improve, but I can do this. Mm-hmm.
And if you're not that great of a coach, then you're going to get feedback on how to become a better one. Mm-hmm. So number one, just to reiterate, get your clients success at all costs, mm-hmm. pretty much. Number two is, once they start getting success, ask them for a testimonial, ask them if you can use their before and after pictures, and post that shit everywhere. Mm-hmm. That's how WAG blew up. You focused on two things. I met you very shortly after you started the company, and you focused on two things: client success and then posting their transformations.
Mm-hmm. Sharing. Yeah, I think we have over 600 transformations mm-hmm. on our website now.
And the reason that this is so beneficial is because of one of the powers of influence called social proof. I was talking about this on a live cast today. So one of the best psychology books of all time is called Influence by Robert Cialdini. And he talks about all of the different types of ways to persuade and influence people. And social proof is one of the most powerful. When I see that two of my friends have used the same, like used a certain service, I immediately trust that service more. Mm-hmm. Something could have the best website and the best video explainer, like explainer video, and it could be a great price, but I'm like, who is this even for? But as soon as I see someone like me that has gotten a great result mm-hmm. with whatever it is, I'm like, okay, this,
yeah.
if it could work for him, it could definitely work for me.
Yeah.
And so you want to give people that experience. You want to show them that it's possible for them.
Mm-hmm. And that means you have to get people results.
Yes. Yes. So one, two, three is ask for referrals. So especially with something as emotional and intimate, and this is not a cheap service. You're giving a lot of time, so it shouldn't be a cheap service. It's a big commitment for people, and so they really have to have trust that you're going to get them results. And the best way to do that is to have a referral from a friend.
Yeah.
So this is how CrossFit gyms, like, 90% of their growth happens, no matter what else they're doing in marketing. 90% of growth happens through word of mouth referral mm-hmm. marketing. So once you know that someone is having a good experience with you and they're seeing some progress on their own, straight up ask them, like, hey, I want to work with people just like you that are motivated to make a change, that want to lose 5 or 10 pounds. Do you have a friend like that? Or do you have a colleague like that? Do you have a family member like that? Ask them specifically the type of person that you're looking for, rather than saying, hey, do you have anybody you could refer me to? Because when we do that, it's kind of confusing. Sorry.
And also be specific in, don't just say, do you have someone like that? Tell them exactly how to connect you. Mm-hmm. So get this person to email me, give them my phone number, like, tell them exactly what you want them to do. The least amount of work for somebody to do to refer you is the best.
Yes. If when you're getting people great results, they really want to refer their friends. They just need to be asked. They need mm-hmm. to be told what to do, basically. They want to reciprocate and give back to you. They believe in you because you believed in them. So that's another way that WAG has grown so quickly.
Yes.
A lot of referrals. Mm. So number one, getting back to getting clients. Number one is get great results, really over-deliver. Number two is use testimonials. And number three is ask for referrals. Is there anything else?
I think that was pretty robust in information. I used that word
One thing I will finish on, and we probably should have led with this, but becoming a nutrition coach, not only is it like fulfilling to the greatest degree because it allows you to deeply connect with people and get them results that are like really meaningful in their life. Like mm-hmm. it impacts them far outside of just their body, but it also gives you the opportunity and possibility of working remotely, of being your own boss, of mm-hmm. working wherever you want, whenever you want, with whoever you want.
Yeah.
It's freedom.
Yeah.
It is freedom. So if you're interested in this, we highly believe in all of the different authors that Adi mentioned earlier. So those are like low barrier to entry ways to learn more about nutrition coaching. Mm-hmm. If you're really ready to dive in and you either you just want to learn more for yourself to kind of command your own nutrition a little bit better, or you want to work with other people, you want to start a side hustle or full-on business, look us up, workingagainstgravity.com, click on
coach certification.
And we're launching, by the time this comes out.
So let's
sign up for the waitlist.
Join the waitlist. If it happens to come out at the time where you can join now, but it's probably going to say join the waitlist. We only launch this program 2 times a year. That is because we have real people that are giving you real feedback, and we don't have capacity to just like endlessly sign people up. So get on the waiting list, and that is the first place that you're going to hear about when registration opens.
Awesome. Also, if you want to ask us a question and have us answer it on the podcast, leave us a voicemail at workingagainstgravity.com/podcast. Scroll down to the start recording button. Leave your name, where you're from, short, concise message. And if it's awesome, we're going to play it on here. You're going to be famous, and we're going to have a great episode out of it.
We love you guys. Thanks.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us. Stay in touch by signing up for our newsletter at workingagainstgravity.com or on Instagram at workingagainstgravity.
And don't forget to subscribe to us on iTunes, leave us a 5-star review, and refer a friend. We'll be back next week with another episode. Talk to you then.